It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. Just a reminder, turn your clocks back an hour, get an extra hour of sleep tonight. Well, we'll go through some scores from last night. Game you heard here live on Q92. Minniota defeated Dawson Boyd 42-16. It was a good ball game, turning point in the third quarter. I guess that kind of turned things around. And kind of an upset, Maury County Central. Upset, I guess, on paper anyway. Springfield by a score 31-16. That was down in Marshall, too. Some other scores: Holding Fort defeated Osakis 48-14. Minneapolis North scored 56 points but gave up 44 to St. Croix Lutheran. Annandale, the game that my wife and I and the parents of Luke and Jack Newman defeated Foley 37-14. Piers shut out Pequot Lakes 35-0. Marshall over Cold Spring Ricori 22-7. Fergus Falls defeated Becker by a point 27-26. Eden Valley Watkins defeated St. Cloud Cathedral 28-14. Litchfield upset Albany 23-6. And Red Rock Central defeated Wabasso 26-21. Some other scores, triple A and or 6A and 5A and that. But a lot of games were played last night throughout the state, and the first round will be next week. Seeding, if you're interested to find out who's going to play who next week, starts around 10 a.m. this morning. 25-26 football season. So, wasn't what you hoped for, but at least you got a lot of experience for some of your kids coming back next year.
Yeah, was down and watched the two games yesterday down in Marshall and with the Minniota and Dawson game, and then MCC and Springfield, and there you just kind of see how it all comes together. Such a good atmosphere for that. I mean, both of those games, those teams play each other during the regular season, so they know each other pretty well. So it was fun to watch. I mean the season, and we talked about is week by week here. The injury bug definitely got us, and we ended up getting some guys in there that maybe didn't necessarily plan on seeing a lot of action on a Friday night as the season started, but that's how it worked out this year. And as I was talking to other coaches, they were commenting on the injury bug, and all of them have said, hey, it's happened to us before too, and it was our turn. So I just want to go through the roster again, and then talk a little bit about our stats, and then we'll put a ribbon on the year.
Well, you got to say goodbye to the seniors too that played hard for you.
Yeah, there were six seniors: Nolan Smith, Brant Schomer, Gabe Lowry, Talon Kranz, Elias Alonzo, and Douglas Bruner. And we had a nice meeting with those guys. Would have been the Friday week ago. Yesterday, so good talk with them. Had a good talk with the returning guys on Monday of this week, and kind of mapped out a little bit of what we want to do and what it needs to look like. And so now it's just a matter of us putting that plan into action. And then you take a look at the juniors that'll be coming back next year. Seniors, a good number of those: Jax Wells, Gavin Meyer, Grant Bierke, Gavin Mortensen, Jay Staline, Gus Holm, Kaysen Heineke, Kyler Kep, Angel Mejia, Matthew Ullman, Matthew Sherman, and Thor Hewitt. So, I mean, and obviously there was a couple of injuries, going through there, and those guys will be back and wanting to put together a good senior campaign. Then sophomores, this year's sophomores, Jackson Fernolds was immediately stepped into the quarterback position, and not an easy position to be put into. Scott Asfelt, Max Young, Angel Alonzo, Tanner Tilbury, Evan Schliemann, Alex Nyans, and Tucker Lyons are this year's sophomores. And then the freshmen this year, Caden Ludebar, Ryan Bierke, Cooper Smith, Nicholas Hoffman, Dane Nicholson. And hoping that we can get a few of those freshmen that will be sophomores next year. Hopefully we get those guys out and a few of those guys to come back out to help with the numbers. And listed off those freshmen and sophomores, it's just kind of a side product of the injury bug was our ability then not to play those JV games. And that's not what we wanted to do, but it's tough to go to a JV game with 12 or 13 guys, and all of a sudden you got some kid playing a position that doesn't really know what they need to do, and then you get other kids hurt. So it's unfortunate. Those are kind of the dominoes that fell. As far as some of the stats go, leading rusher this year was Jay Staline, 523 yards on 91 carries, and he had was battling a shoulder and a thigh, and so he was kind of limited at times. In the receiving, Nolan led the team with 11 receptions. Defensively, Gavin Mortensen led the team in tackles. And then we had a couple of guys tied with sacks, Tanner Tilbury and Douglas Bruner. Tucker Lyons led the team with three interceptions game. In the kicking game, kick returns, Gavin Mortensen led our team 24 attempts for 526 yards and a 90-yard return for a touchdown. He was kind of a jack of all trades for us, whether it was punt return or kick return or receiving or running or whatever it was. I mean, that's just kind of kid he is. He offers a lot of different tools for you. Like I said, we go down and watch those games, and that's where you want to be. That's the goal, is to get yourself in that position, to get yourself into a state tournament. So that's great atmosphere, fun to watch. And there were some of our guys went down and watched yesterday too. And so, hopefully you kind of get that bug, that itch to find yourself in that position. And obviously, throughout the course of a year, whatever sport it is, you need to have the talent and you need to have the ability, but then there's also a little luck involved. And you take a look at that game yesterday or games yesterday, there was some opportunities in both games, and they were able to take advantage of it, obviously MCC and Mineota. But you take a look at our group, we didn't maybe have as much luck this year, and it'll be what it'll be. And like I said, had a good conversation with the returning guys. I'm going to talk to a few of the guys that weren't out this year to see if maybe we can increase those numbers and improve. So that's kind of the goal of the coaching staff, is to see if we can get a few of those other guys out.
Well, we're going to be talking to the junior high, one of the junior high coaches, right after this interview, and you had pretty good numbers there and some success.
Yeah, Matt Carmody is going to be coming in here, and Johnny Garibay and Timothy White were the three coaches for the junior high, and got some compliments about how they worked with the guys. And you're right, there were some numbers down there. I believe the eighth grade group, there was 18 or 19 of them, and then the seventh grade group is maybe not as big. I think there was 10. But if we can keep those 10 out, that's still 10,
right,
as they go through. And That's kind of what you're hoping for. And I think this year was our first year of the fifth and sixth grade tackle football, league. And so there's a good number in the sixth grade group. We talked about during the year the number of kids in flag football on those Monday nights. So all that's going kind of leading itself into, you know, keeping those numbers and working with that feeder program.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I know it's you mentioned the people that don the Lacaparro Eagle uniform, their names, but maybe give them a little salute on their way out.
You know, you take a look at this group, you know, Douglas Bruner, just so much energy, fun in practice, always up for the game. You know, to be honest, probably a little undersized as a defensive and offensive lineman, but as far as the effort and the heart, he did a great job. Elias Alonzo is the strong, silent type, doesn't say much unless spoken to. But he had a nice year as an offensive lineman and a defensive tackle or a defensive end. Talon Kranz, two-year starter at center. Last year, his year got cut short from an injury. He's a smart kid, so he's able to, you know, help us with some of the blocking things. And as a linebacker, you know, he was probably one that maybe played out of position a little bit, could have been a defensive lineman, but when the injuries were caught us, he moved himself over into that linebacker position. Gabe Lowry, Gabe loves football. Gabe loves everything about football. He's was kind of the emotional leader, and he had a nice year. He'd been playing running back pretty much through his career, and got to be just before we went to that football camp, and I said, Gabe, what do you think about playing offensive line? I said, I think we could really take advantage of your strength there. And he said, wherever you need me. And so he did a nice job. Also got some carries when Jace was down. Let's see, Brant Schomer, unfortunately, 2 years now, two injuries, both to the shoulder. He's hoping that he will be able to be back and ready to go for baseball. But athletic kid, strong kid, just wasn't able to keep himself on the field, and that's unfortunate. And I know that that bothered him that he wasn't able to be out there and playing with those guys. And then Nolan Smith didn't play a lot last year with some of the upperclassmen, but this year ended up playing a lot of snaps. And whether it was as a tight end, he did a nice job blocking, or wide receiver, and then defensively he was playing some corner and some safety, and played a lot of the special teams. So, you know, as I was talking to that group last Friday, it was they're a wide range of interests, and I asked them, hey, you know, what do you guys want to do when you graduate, and just a lot, and there was a lot of diversity in that too. So, they're like most groups you come by, you'd wish that they were around for another year, but hey, that's how the world works. That's how life goes, and and they're on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, that's right. But they'll have some fond memories of their high school football career, so that's for sure.
And that's what's so different. I mean, you take a look at any of the other sports. Football is just different. It's just 11 guys in that huddle, in the piles, in the, you know, it's just so different, and that's what makes it so special, I think.
Right. Well, anything else, Tony?
We're going to have our banquet on Thursday, November 13th. A time, and I believe we're going to 6 o'clock, but as far as location, not really sure where we're going to do that yet with the theater being under construction. So we're going to try to figure out what we're going to do as far as that. I'm going to be sending out some information to the families here in the next couple of days. But no, that's a wrap on the season, and obviously wishing girls today the best of luck at state. And we're getting fired up now for, you know, dance has already started. Some conversations about wrestling and where what weight they're going to get to. And so, I mean, it's just kind of on to the next for some of these guys, and I get it. That's how it happens.
Well, with a school our size, you certainly encourage going out for your particular activity or sport, but also to keep the other programs going. It'd be nice to be at least a two-sport athlete and possibly a three-sport athlete. So the competition is good, and keep those programs alive and well.
Yeah, and you know, you take a look at this part of the state, whether you're talking football or basketball or baseball, it's competitive.
It certainly is.
And you got to make sure that you're ready to go. And, I mean, all the others, too, wrestling. And it's a competitive area of the state, and you got to be ready to perform.
That's right. Okay, Tony, well, thanks for coming in every morning, every Saturday morning, and you can be a spectator now for a while.
I get to watch for a while.
Tony Smith on football. Take this break, and we'll come back and talk junior high football with one of the three coaches there, Matt Carmody.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Get best top sirloin steaks, just $10.99 a pound. Frozen pork loin back ribs, only $2 a pound. Perfect cuts for grilling, roasting, or a cozy fall dinner. Stop in while supplies last. These deals won't last long. And Kip is taking whole deer during hunting season. Drop-off hours, 5 to 7 p.m. That's the Country Butcher, located on Main Street, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more, awards, and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
It's the Section 3A Volleyball Championship match, Saturday night, 7:30, from the RA facility in Marshall. It's the Mineota Vikings and the Russell Tyler Rutha Knights. The winner gets a trip to the state volleyball tournament next week. That's 7:30 Saturday night from Marshall, Section 3A Volleyball Championship, Mineota and RTR. Tune in. When it comes to solid foundations, there's only one name you need to know: Wolfschlager Concrete. Whether it's a new driveway, a sleek patio, or a robust commercial foundation, Wolfschlager Concrete has you covered. With over 20 years of experience and a commitment to quality, our team delivers durable, reliable, and beautifully finished concrete every time. Commercial, agriculture, and residential. They do work in Minnesota and South Dakota. Call Jordan at 320-269-1182 or check out their Facebook page. That's Wolfschlager Concrete.
All right, well, back here at the station live, talking junior high football now with one of the three coaches, Matt Carmody, and thanks for stopping in. I know you had a good year and pretty good numbers there, Matt.
Yeah, we had a really good year. We had, I think, just counted up, we had about 23 kids out, a lot of eighth graders that were on the team, so. And that was nice to have them. Had a good number of seventh graders out. I know they, from what I've been told, I'm not in the school, but that they're a smaller boy class. So I was happy to have 7 to 8 kids out for the seventh grade, and they contributed a lot to the team this year. So that was kind of fun to have them. They ended up having to play a few more games where they're probably playing against some eighth graders, maybe, you know, some guys a little bit bigger than them, but they didn't really back down ever, and so it was nice to see that.
Good. Well, maybe go through your roster.
Yeah, I got my roster here so I don't forget anybody. So we'll start off first. Jared Swenson, he was our quarterback. He's an eighth grader and played safety for us. Isaiah Arnold, he was also an eighth grader. He was wide receiver, cornerback. Rory Biergon, wide receiver and a cornerback. He was an eighth grader as well. Braden Olson, eighth grader. He played running back, and then he was one of our linebackers. Tyler Tweet, he's also an eighth grader. He was played both offense and defensive line. Riker Olson, he was a seventh grader. He was one of our wide receivers and one of our defensive backs. Tarek Turner, he was an eighth grader. He unfortunately got hurt very early in the season, so he did not get to play any game with us. He kind of, by the time our last game was rolling around, I think he was just getting out of his boot and his brace, so he should be ready for, I think he plays basketball, he said, so he should be ready for that. But he played running back, wide receiver, and then was one of our linebackers as well. Tustin Johnson, he was a seventh grader, played wide receiver and defensive back. Brody Wolschlager, he was an eighth grader. He was a running back, and he was a linebacker. He's one of the kids that didn't come out last year but then came out this year and really stepped up and played well for us, hard runner at running back. It was nice to have him back there, you know, running the ball. Reese Mort, eighth grader, played wide receiver, defensive back for us. Isaac Link, he is an eighth grader, wide receiver, and he played linebacker and defensive back for us, depending on where we needed him. Grady Fernholz, also an eighth grader. He played running back and linebacker. Liam Torres, he was one of our seventh graders. He played both offense and defensive line. Kessler Bergeson, also a seventh grader. He was our other quarterback and then played linebacker for us. Connor Crowett, a seventh grader, wide receiver, defensive back. Roden Tilbury, he's an eighth grader. He played on both lines, offense and defensive line. He did play a little linebacker if we needed him. He was kind of our flex guy a little bit on the defensive side. Logan Ludvigson, eighth grader, played offense and defensive line. Caden Peters, he was our tight end. He's an eighth grader and then also played linebacker for us. Corbin Sherrod, he was seventh grader, played offense and defensive line. Xander Mose, eighth grader, offensive defensive line as well. Adam Ehrenberg, seventh grader, offense and defensive line. Lucas Sherman, he was an eighth grader, played offense and defensive line. And then rounding out our numbers here, Uriah Hale, eighth grader, offense and defensive line. Actually, I've got one more here. We also had Blake Laney. He was an offensive defensive line as well as an eighth grader.
Okay. And the other people or other coaches there?
Yeah. So I've been coaching for the last 4 years. And then this year we had our coach we had last year ended up moving out of the district to teach, I believe, up in Benson. So I know Tony and I were trying to see who we could get to coach, and we were kind of brainstorming. I know so one of the coaches that we have, he's one of the new special education teachers in the district. His name's Timothy White. So initially he had said, well, I didn't know if he wanted to do it, but because he's trying to get, I believe, his master's degree, and all of his classes were on Tuesday nights, which is when we have the game. So we kind of talked to him like, hey, we need some help at practice. If you can't be at games, that's all right. So he agreed to coach with us. And then we also had Johnny Garibay. He's been a teacher out at the high school. I know he's kind of taught a bunch of different sections of different classes. So he was another one that we got to coach this year with us.
Well, I know Tony Smith mentioned a couple times that he's gotten messages or talked to some of the parents of the 7th and 8th graders and said, the three of you really worked closely together and talked things over, and the kids really enjoyed playing for the three of you.
Well, that's always good to hear that.
Yeah.
I know we had a good mix. You know, I know Timothy has coached before. I believe he is from Oklahoma, I think, or Texas, somewhere down south, and he's coached before. Johnny has coached as well, and it was kind of nice. We had a good mix of knowing how to coach the different positions. You know, both Timothy and I did the line, so we kind of had some, you know, different ideas. It's always nice to get another mind in there, that so you're not just doing the same thing all day every day.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yep.
So let's talk about your season schedule, the games that you played.
Yeah, so we, and then of course I didn't bring my schedule with me, but I remember at least enough off the top of my head, I hope. But no, so we played about, I think it was 8 games. We had a couple scrimmages in there as well. So we went 7-1 on the season for the games. We lost, I know the 8th graders were really upset. We lost to McCray the last game of the year. That was the only game that 7th grade group lost last year too. So they were really, really wanting to beat McCray. So they were pretty disappointed that we didn't get the win against McCray. But they played well, you know, kind of the way football goes. We made some mistakes, and that's the way that it happened. But no, we started the year with a couple scrimmages. I believe we played, we went to KMS, which they had a couple different teams there. So we played Benson for a scrimmage there. We played KMS for a scrimmage. And then we had the one game where we went up to Border West where the boys got to experience 9-man football. We played our 11-man offense, and then on defense we played 9-man. It's always fun to play that game because the kids, their minds are blown that you can play football with 9 guys. And they get confused on who we're going to take away, and it's like you just take 2 guys off the field. It's all right, guys. But yeah, and then you know, our 7th grade played – kind of one game themselves where it was strictly 7th grade, and that was against Dawson. And that was one of the other games that we lost, the 7th grade, if you want to say the true 7th grade game. We again, kind of one of those ones that we played tough but made some mistakes and ended up, you know, it kind of costed us a game. And it was kind of funny because I think the next game, home game we had, one of the refs said, "Is this the same team that same guys you had out against?" I said, I turned around and figured some things out. I said, "Yeah." I said, "We didn't play well against Dawson, and then you know, it's the things clicked. It seemed after halfway through the season, and things started rolling pretty well for us."
Now, do you do special teams there? Or?
We do not do any special teams, so it's not quite a scrim. I wouldn't say it's a scrimmage, but it's not a full game. Yeah, we usually, typically, depending on where we're at, we start either on the 35 or 40-yard line, and then it's like a game. You know, we go down the field. We will, you know, get first downs, things like that, penalties, all that. If we get to fourth down, then we punt it. Punt, I say, with quotes, because they just move the ball 30 yards down the field.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, I'm not one to punt it a whole lot. I figure once we get past the 50-yard line, let's just run some offense and get some more plays in. So, but otherwise, yeah, pretty much a full game outside of the special teams.
Well, sounds like you did a good job with everybody, and now it's time for them to go out for another activity and maybe go into the weight room and try to get ready for next year's football season.
Right. I know that was kind of the conversation we had is, you know, it doesn't matter what sport you are. The big thing is get in the weight room. You know, it helps all sports. You know, I feel like the last 2 years, including this year, maybe 3 years, we've really focused on trying to get the kids in the weight room one time a week during the season, just because I know the weight room can be intimidating for those 7th and 8th graders when they go in and you see some of those seniors in there throwing around a lot of weight. So it's nice to get them in there with their peers, teach them how to lift, to get some basics down so they can be successful and continue to lift throughout the season and in the summer and keep getting improving their athletic ability.
Well, the only thing is it's out in the middle of the country and that, and you got to get transportation out there when school is out of the session.
But, yes, that makes it a little tough, I know.
But I think every year it improves a little bit in numbers because they find out that it's really necessary to be stronger or as strong as the person across the line from you.
Exactly, yeah. There's, you know, skill only goes so far. There is, you know, the one other thing with the weight room, it teaches you, you know, effort and to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is football to a T. I mean, there's not too many things you do in football that are comfortable other than scoring touchdowns and winning games. But
get into the mindset of saying why when a situation comes up that you need to get a tackle or get some more yards, why did I do all that work in the weight room to lose this game or to lose this fourth down or whatever, it's a mental game
as well, too.
Right,
yeah. Yep, that's a big part of it. It does come down to, you know, one versus one, and you got to beat the man across from you, make that whether it's a tackle, whether it's catching a pass, or whether it's, you know, on defense breaking a ball up. It does come down kind of to that one versus one and see who's going to win it. And, yeah, usually the guy that's been in the weight room and been working out and prepared for that moment is usually going to be successful. So.
Well, I know you've made it pretty public that the kids this year in the junior high really like the physical contact.
Oh, yeah. They liked that last year. They like it this year, too. It's one of those that they just like to hit people, and which is all right. So,
yeah. So, okay. Anything else?
No, I just want to thank you for having me. I appreciate coming in or enjoy coming in and talking a little football with you. And it's always good to wrap the year up and let these kids hear their name on the radio every once in a while, too. So,
and as time goes on, they'll hear their names
more
often.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, thanks for coming in.
Yep, thanks for having me, Dick.
Yep. Well, with that, we'll take a commercial break and come back with more of the Culture Show.
Dawson's Holiday Craft and Vendor Fair is being held today. It'll be going on from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Dawson Boyd Community Center. Celebrate the holiday season with them at the Dawson Vendor Fair. Grace Lutheran Church is having a food drive in conjunction with that. Bring a non-perishable food item for the food shelf in Dawson. And the Dawson Boyd Band is having a fundraiser, coffee and rolls served in the morning with a hot sandwich lunch during that craft fair at the Dawson Boyd Community. It's Norsefest in Madison, November 6th through the 8th, and the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to participate in the fun. Friday, November 7th, there will be museum tours all day at the Historical Society, Franz Richter and Friends Art Show at the Mercantile, other activities at the Merc as well. Lutefisk and Meatball Supper at the Madison VFW Friday the 7th from 5 to 6:30 p.m., followed by the Lutefisk Eating Contest. For information and registration, call the Chamber Office, 320-698-3503. Many other activities coming up during Norsefest in Madison, November 6th through the 8th. We hope to see you there. To see what else is happening around the state of Minnesota, check out ExploreMinnesota.com. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison this weekend. It's final weekend for The Senior in Theater Number 1, the story of a guy who got kicked out of college, went back at the age of 59, finished up his studies, and played on the football team. That's The Senior, PG, in Theater Number 1. In Theater Number 2 at the Grand, it's Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, rated PG-13. That's Springsteen in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
What's on your mind?
Giving back.
Heartland's been supporting local schools, teams, and organizations for years.
Because when the community wins, we all win. Selling Chevrolets is what we do. Helping Morris thrive is who we are. That's why people trust Heartland. It's about more than cars. It's about people.
Because it's not just a Chevy. It's a Heartland Chevrolet. Visit HeartlandMotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
All right, back here at the station. That pretty much concludes the Culture Show for another week, and keep that dial tuned to Q92 as State Cross Country will be coming on here right around that 10 o'clock hour. Paul has a number of interviews, and we'll have somebody down in the Les Bolstad golf course that will be giving updates and talking to people as well. So with that, I'm going to close out the Culture Show with my sick jokes of the week.
All right.
Got three of them here. Well, Johnny Cash was known for playing a lot in prisons. He liked to have a captive audience. And number two, how do you wash clothes at the beach? Well, of course, with Tide. And number three, sandwich sales were up in the capital of India. I guess there's a new deli. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
If you're ready for a home makeover, we suggest you make your way over to Miniota Building Materials. Stop in and talk to Kevin and his staff at Miniota Building Materials, and they can help you create the new look you want for your home. They also offer custom design plans for new homes, additions, egg, storage, workshops, and residential buildings. Stop in and they'll be glad to help you with estimates and give you construction tips that will make your project go smoother. That's priceless. Miniota Building Materials. They're located right along Highway 68 in Miniota, and they're a proud sponsor of the Miniota Vikings. Peter and Vicki Strand of the Strand Agency in downtown Dawson look forward to helping you with all your farm, business, and auto insurance needs. Give Peter or Vicki a call today at 320-769-4410. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and you can find them on Main Street, Dawson. That's the Strand Agency, Peter and Vicki Strand.
State cross-country coverage on Q92 brought to you by Anderson DeBeese Funeral Home, Appleton Area Health, B. Johnson Electric, Bellingham American Legion, CCM Health, Montevideo, Cargill and Madison, Celtic Insurance, Cliff Beesman Trucking, the Dawson Dairy Queen, Dawson Truck Parts, Dean Martinson Pioneer Seeds, Edward Jones, Erickson Chevrolet, Farmers Union Oil Company, Montevideo. State cross-country coverage brought to you by Fieldcrest Fertilizer, Gnometown Grounds in Dawson, Grace Haven Assisted Living, Greater Community Credit Union, Grewell Electric, Heather Nursery and Floral, Independent Oil Company in Canby, Jenny O. Turkey Store, Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, Johnson Memorial Health Services, Black Barrel Corn and Soybean Growers. State cross-country brought to you by Lee Motor Company in Dawson, Lean Lumber, Livestock Systems in Dawson, Ludvigson Tiling, Olson Sanitation, Prairie Sun Bank, Shadowland Trucking, Brian Smith Seed, State Farm Insurance, Tony Arata, Swidzinski for House, Brand Agency, Lock Farrell Mutual Insurance, Triple S Trucking, and United Prairie Bank in Madison. Thanks for joining us for state cross-country coverage right here on Q92.
And we want to add UFP Miniota for our state cross-country coverage. They're our premier sponsor for State Cross Country. State Cross Country coming up here in a little bit. Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. We have Dawson Boyd Elementary Principal Amy Heidemann covering State Cross Country for us at the University Golf Course today. The boys will start in a little bit here at 10 o'clock. We've got two area boys that will be following, Adam Vans Binsbergen from Montevideo, and we'll follow Caden Vanderwall. They're running individually in the Class A run here in a little bit. Caden's from Ortonville, and we'll hear from them. We did some interviews with them and get to know them a little bit. And then we'll have the results of the Class A boys probably around 10:30 this morning. And then the girls represented La Caparo Valley Dawson Boy girls team are running. They'll run at 10:45. The girls race starts. About 180 runners in each race. That's a lot. And we'll hear the girls representing La Caparo Valley, Dawson Boyd. Of course, we've got the Glagie sisters, Bryn and Chloe, Laura Schreier, Sadie Rosendahl, Talia Hersom, Harper Grunholz, and Morgan Anderson will be running for the girls here at 10:45. Amy's down there, and she'll be at the finish line. We'll visit with all the runners at the finish line today. Also, we're following Maya Pesek from Canby, Miniota. So a big day of cross country, and later tonight I'll be in Marshall for the Section 3A Volleyball Championship match. Miniota will be taking on Russell Tyler Ruthen. That starts around 7:30 tonight right here on Q92. So we're awaiting a call from Amy here from the University Golf Course. Then we'll continue with our coverage with some interviews with Adam Vans Binsbergen from Montevideo and Caden Vanderwall from Ortonville.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Get best top sirloin steaks, just $10.99 a pound. Frozen pork loin back ribs, only $2 a pound. Perfect cuts for grilling, roasting, or a cozy fall dinner. Stop in while supplies last. These deals won't last long. And Kip is taking whole deer during hunting season. Drop-off hours, 5 to 7 p.m. That's the Country Butcher, located on Main Street, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.